This great state of mind is also activated when we intellectualize deeply about information, perhaps what we are studying or a skill we are developing in our job. We are highly intellectual beings created to have relationship with a highly intellectual God. We should never underestimate how brilliant we are and that we are only limited by how we see ourselves. In His Great Mercy. In His great mercy, God has wired into the design of our brain these circuits that are spearheaded by the default mode network, DMN, we need to regularly access to keep connected to our spirits and to be able to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, a time of ceasing from our own activity, ceasing from our own efforts. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Our minds need time to understand what our spirits already know. In the busyness of life and the flurry of everyday activity, we expose ourselves to the possibility of developing a chaotic mindset with the net result of neurochemical and electromagnetic chaos in the brain. This feels like endless loops and spirals of thinking that can easily get out of control. When we activate the DMN, however, it is almost like a Sabbath in the brain, which is a cessation from the conscious flurry of work and a withdrawal into the depths of our mind. It is like a mental rebooting process to reconnect with who we are and with our Savior to bring perspective to the issues of life. The Sabbath in the brain. In fact, when we don't frequently slow down and enter this rest state, this Sabbath in the brain, we disrupt natural functions in the brain. Research shows that when we don't engage in this disciplined and focused self-reflective pattern of thinking that activates the DMN, we may experience negative self-esteem, depression, worry, anxiety, and health issues, and over-focus on generalized and short-term memory issues. We may get stuck, unable to cope, and have a tendency to focus on the problem and not the solution. In fact, as things go wrong in the processing of information in the default mode network, the mishandled data is passed on to other networks in the brain where it creates additional problems. These additional problems can be experienced as memory issues, cloudy and fuzzy thinking, anxiety, depression, and many other manifestations, including neuropsychiatric disorders. The Task Positive Network. In line with the amazing order and balance God created in everything, we find this default mode resting network is balanced by the Task Positive Network, TPN. The TPN supports the active thinking required for making decisions. So as we focus our thinking and activate the DMN, at some point in our thinking process, we move into active decision-making. This activates the TPN, and we experience this as action. In my 21-day brain detox plan discussed in Part 2, I call this action an active reach. Brain research, specifically the science of thought, shows that action completes the cycle of building up and breaking down thoughts. We see this in the scriptures as well. Faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 26. What is very interesting and sobering, however, is how our DMN and TPN networks, as well as the balance between the two, are thrown off when we choose to be toxic. Toxic negative thinking produces increased activity in the DMN, and activity in the TPN decreases. This results in maladaptive depressive ruminations and a decrease in the ability to solve problems. This makes us feel foggy, confused, negative, and depressed. God is a God of order and balance, and He has fashioned our spirit, soul, and body this way. So it is quite simple. When we don't follow His ordinances, there will be consequences. The brain moves into an unbalanced state, producing neurochemical and electromagnetic chaos. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. James, chapter 3, verse 16, NIV. Our brain follows our mind. Studies using imaging techniques show that the DMN activates abnormally in individuals with depression. Other studies show that in depressed individuals, the front middle part of the brain, anterior medial cortex, has increased activity. This means that although their ruminations increased, this good sign was thrown into disarray by decreased activity in the middle back part of the brain, the posterior medial cortex. When there is decreased activity in the posterior medial cortex, a pattern of dissociation occurs, and there is a tendency to move away from being clear and specific in thinking about memories toward focusing on overly general memories. What this means is that when rumination turns into unproductive brooding and negative issues are blown out of proportion, it is detrimental to the brain and to good life choices. When this happens, healthy, focused introspection activating the DMN turns from a coping and solution focus to a passive and maladaptive focus, which can result in worrying, anxiety, and depression. This gives us scientific proof that we need to have the mindset expressed in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. NIV. By following this perfect advice from God's Word, you can bring back the balance between the default mode network, DMN, and the task positive network, TPN. The good news is that this balance can be restored very quickly when you choose to become introspective and ruminate in a positive, directed way. The speed of the change in how you feel and function is not just because of the balance being restored between the DMN and TPN, but also because the brain functions in complex circuits that encompass multiple brain structures and regions, so there is a positive, cascading effect throughout the brain. This is once again God's grace in action. Consequences of toxic thinking. Throughout this book, the resounding message is that negative thinking creates atypical responses in the brain, which will result in atypical manifestations. Studies have clearly demonstrated that people with a history of various types of depression exhibit differences in the regions and circuits of the brain associated with knowledge of socially acceptable behavior, anterior temporal lobe, and the awareness of wrong, subgenual region of the brain. Their thoughts and the choices they have made changed their brain in a negative way, so that instead of being convicted of wrong in order to change, which is positive, they felt guilty and condemned, causing the positive to become negative. Other studies dealing with obsessive-compulsive disorders and schizophrenia show definite changes in the brain from the negative to the positive when thinking is brought under control. Some scientists even describe these neuropsychiatric manifestations almost as though negative, toxic thinking opens a gate that allows negative emotions to overwhelm them. And because mind changes matter, this negative thinking changes the brain structure. Patients with schizophrenia have decreased activity between their thalamus and prefrontal cortex, which affects memory and behavioral flexibility. They also have incorrect activity in their decision-making and emotional areas of the brain. From studies of adolescents starting to show symptoms of schizophrenia, it appears the areas are overactive at first from toxic stress reactions and then become damaged and hypoactive. So if we don't help our children and adolescents manage stress, we are potentially causing brain damage, which in turn leads to more serious problems. Other research shows that women who have suffered abuse were 60% more likely to have a child with autism. The researchers proposed that the long-lasting effects of abuse on women's biological systems, such as the immune system and stress response system, are responsible for increasing their likelihood of having a child with autism. These women were victims of toxic thinking and the stress it causes, and the abuse will therefore impact the next generation as well, and potentially the next three. This is why there are often family histories of autism. I tell you this study to highlight the responsibility we have in not only getting our own minds right, but also helping others, especially victims of trauma, get their minds right. Switch on your brain. Choosing to be focused and mindful and to activate your DMN and your TPN in a balanced way by capturing your thoughts will bring you back in alignment with God. In my 21-day brain detox plan, I show you how to center your attention on a single element using my Switch On Your Brain 5-step learning process. When there is a pause in your activity, a quiet state, that is a perfect time to connect to the spiritual part of who you are. In this state, your mind can begin to understand what your spirit knows. You can position yourself to let the Holy Spirit deposit truth and direction in your spirit as you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Through modifying our practices of thought toward a more disciplined, focused, and reflective thought life, we can build up healthy neural real estate that is better able to bring our thoughts into captivity and deal with the variegated demands of today's modern world. Your mind can powerfully and unexpectedly change your brain in positive ways when you intentionally direct your attention. The most efficient way to improve your brain is a daily step-by-step process, a lifestyle of thinking your brain into better functioning so that it turns into whatever you expect it to be. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Your mind, intellect, will, and emotions are always changing your brain in some way. Directed, disciplined, and focused attention on the correct things is a major key to switching on your brain. Chapter 5 Summary. 1. We have all kinds of coordinated networks in our brains that work together in an organized way, forming a constant intrinsic chatter in the non-conscious part of our mind. 2. Our brains maintain a high level of activity 24/7. This activity forms the brain's inner life, with the default mode network, DMN, dominating and becoming especially active when the mind is introspective and thinking deeply in a directed rest or idle state. 3. As these networks function correctly, we shift into deeply introspective and meditative states that increase our intelligence and health. 4. When we switch back and forth between the various networks, for example, when we have flexible and creative thinking, we are able to shift between thoughts and capture and control them. 5. When we direct our rest by introspection, self-reflection, and prayer, when we catch our thoughts, when we memorize and quote scripture, when we develop our mind intellectually, we accelerate the default mode network, DMN, and improve brain function as well as mind, body, and spiritual health. 6. The DMN is balanced by the Task Positive Network, TPN, which supports the active thinking required for making decisions. The more balanced we are, the more wisdom we apply in our thinking and decisions. This action step of the TPN is necessary for effective mind and brain change. 7. Miswiring of brain regions involved in the DMN that leads to all kinds of ups and downs in the DMN may even be part of disorders ranging from Alzheimer's to schizophrenia. 8. Toxic thinking produces this miswiring, which causes increased activity in the DMN, resulting in a decrease of activity in the TPN. This causes maladaptive, depressive ruminations and a decrease in the ability to solve problems. This makes us feel foggy, confused, negative, and depressed. 9. Your mind can powerfully and unexpectedly change your brain in positive ways when you intentionally direct your attention. Chapter 6. Stop Milkshake Multitasking. Main Scripture. Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live. Body and soul, they're bursting with health. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23. Message. Linked science concept. Multitasking is a persistent myth. Paying deep, focused attention to one task at a time is the correct way. One of the plagues of modern existence is multitasking, which leads to the further plagues of hurry sickness and obsessive time management. The truth about multitasking is that it is a persistent myth. What we really do is shift our attention rapidly from task to task, resulting in two bad things. One, we don't devote as much focused attention as we should to a specific activity, task, or piece of information, and two, we sacrifice the quality of our attention. I call this milkshake multitasking. Multitasking is a persistent myth. This poor focusing of attention and lack of quality in our thought lives is the complete opposite of how the brain is designed to function and causes a level of brain damage. Every rapid, incomplete, and poor quality shift of thought is like making a milkshake with your brain cells and neurochemicals. This milkshake multitasking, which is the truth behind multitasking, creates patterns of flightiness and lack of concentration that are unfortunately often erroneously labeled ADD and ADHD, and that are too often unnecessarily medicated, adding fuel to the fire. And it's a rapid downhill slide from there if we don't get back to our God design of deep intellectual attention. What does deep, focused intellectual attention look like versus milkshake multitasking? The answer is modeled in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23. Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live. Body and soul, they're bursting with health. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Message. It is very interesting that every cell in the body is connected to the heart, and the brain controls the heart and the mind controls the brain. So whatever we are thinking about affects every cell in our body. We saw in the last chapter that we are deeply intellectual beings and are designed to bring all thoughts into captivity. Are you surprised? We are made in God's image, after all. He designed us to think through things one at a time in a focused, quality manner by paying attention, listening intently, keeping our eyes on one thing at a time, and fixing it in our mind. The 140-character tweet. This design contrasts undeniably with the general pattern of modern life today, in which so much attention is paid to tweeting on Twitter, Instagramming and Facebooking to the point that we forget all about enjoying the moment. We are told by so-called social media experts that information needs to be in bite-size amounts and in a constant stream of new information before the previous information has even been digested. This is not stimulation. It is bombardment. We have been reduced to 140 characters and an addiction to looking for the next informational high. Students can't sit quietly and enjoy reading a book, allowing their imagination to take flight. Before sharing some of the research consequences of this milkshake multitasking momentum we are in, I want to assure you that I believe social media plays an important role in society, business, and life. When used correctly and in a balanced way, it is a phenomenal communications tool. I am all for progress. Used incorrectly, however, this good thing becomes a bad thing. It's all about balance. It is all about balance. Our brain responds with healthy patterns, circuits, and neurochemicals when we think deeply, but not when we skim only the surface of multiple pieces of information. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified Bible explains peace as soul harmony that comes from Christ, and that acts as an umpire who helps us think, choose, decide, and settle with finality all questions that arise in our minds. But milkshake multitasking switches on confusion in our brain, making soul harmony impossible. Scientists have found that the amount of time spent milkshake multitasking among American young people has increased by 120% in the last 10 years. According to a report in the Archives of General Psychiatry, simultaneous exposure to electronic media during the teenage years, such as playing a computer game while watching television, appears to be associated with increased depression and anxiety in young adulthood, especially among men. Considering that teens are exposed to an average of 8.5 hours of multitasking electronic media per day, we need to change something quickly. Social media enthusiast or addict? Another concern this raises is whether you are or your teen is a social media enthusiast or simply a social media addict. This is a very real problem, so much so that researchers from Norway developed a new instrument to measure Facebook addiction called the Bergen Facebook Addiction Scale. Social media has become as ubiquitous as television in our everyday lives, and this research shows that multitasking social media can be as addictive as drugs, alcohol, and chemical substance abuse. A large number of friends on social media networks may appear impressive, but according to a new report, the more social circles a person is linked to, the more likely the social media will be a source of stress. It can also have a detrimental effect on consumer well-being, because milkshake multitasking interferes with clear thinking and decision-making, which lowers self-control and leads to rash, impulsive buying and poor eating decisions. Greater social media use is associated with a higher body mass index, increased binge eating, a lower credit score, and higher levels of credit card debt for consumers with many close friends in their social network, all caused by a lack of self-control. We can become shallow. Milkshake multitasking decreases our attention, making us increasingly less able to focus on our thought habits. This opens us up to shallow and weak judgments and decisions and results in passive mindlessness. Deep intellectual thought, however, results in interactive mindfulness. The soul harmony presented in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, Amplified. This requires engaging passionately with the world. We need to increase our awareness of our thoughts and take the time to understand and reflect on them. Let's take a look at some studies that show the impact of changing from a milkshake multitasking mindset to a deep intellectual mindset. In 2012, a research group at the University of Washington did an interesting study on the effects of meditation training on multitasking. They found that the subjects of the study had fewer negative emotions, could stay on task longer, had improved concentration, switched between tasks more effectively in a focused and organized way, as opposed to haphazardly dashing back and forth between tasks, and spent their time more efficiently. These results excited me because I found similar results in my own research. My research. In my documented research with patients who had traumatic brain injury, TBI, and students and adults who had learning and emotional disabilities, I was astounded at the change in their cognitive and emotional function once they started applying a more deeply intellectual thinking pattern. I abandoned all traditional therapy, trained them in a new technique I had developed, and showed them how to apply it to their daily life. The changes were almost immediate. Improved focus, concentration, understanding, shifting efficiency, and overall effectiveness in producing quality work. There were even positive emotional changes, specifically in self-motivation and self-esteem. And it didn't stop there. Over time, they continued to improve in cognitive and emotional functioning. Once they were set on a healthy thinking path, it continued upward in a cascading fashion. In the ensuing past 20 years, I have seen these improvements in thousands of patients and clients. This work is the result of God's guidance, because when I started down this path, it was the complete opposite of my academic training. I instinctively began with and continue to use Scripture, specifically the drive and focus that is called for in Proverbs, as guidance and motivation for my research on the science of thought. This research produced my Switch on Your Brain 5-step learning process, discussed in Part 2, which teaches people to use disciplined, focused attention to develop the kind of thinking pattern that has huge benefits on attention networks and saves us from the enemy of distraction. As a communication pathologist in the field of cognitive neuroscience, I saw the benefits of focused thinking and disciplined concentration were and are not just behavioral. Everything you do and say is first a thought in your physical brain. You think, and then you do, which cycles back to the original thought, changing it and the thoughts connected to it in a dynamic interrelationship. If your thinking is off, toxic or pathological, to be really sciency, then your communication through what you say and do is off, and vice versa. As the scripture says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Scientists see evidence of the difference. Scientists are seeing the evidence of deep intellectual thought versus milkshake multitasking in the brain. Deep intellectual thinking activates the prefrontal cortex, just above your eyebrows, in a positive way, producing increased concentration, less distraction, less switching between tasks, more effective switching between tasks, decreased emotional volatility, and overall increase in job completion. Scientists have also found that deep intellectual thinking improves connections within and between nerve networks, specifically in the front part of the brain and between the front and middle parts of the brain. Other researchers found that when an individual pays attention to a stimulus, the neurons in the cerebral cortex that represent this object show increased attention. We can also alter these patterns of activity by altering our attention, which remaps the cortex. Determination is key. During the 1990s, when many neuroscientists were reporting on the power of attention, I saw the greatest changes in patients who willfully, determinedly, and persistently chose to focus their attention on improving their skills and restoring function. For example, one of my patients had been in a car accident when she was a junior in high school that had left her with extreme brain damage. Her neurologist and other doctors told her parents not to raise their hopes of her being more than a vegetable. Even when she got back to a fourth grade level, the doctors said that was her limit. Fortunately, she and her family chose not to pay attention to what they said, and instead chose to focus her attention on what she wanted for her life. She was determined not only to correct her disabilities from the traumatic accident, but also to catch up with her peer group and finish her senior year with them. Consequently, she built new networks in her mind, focused on where she wanted to be, and strove to make it happen. She talked with me about her goals and vision, and we worked together, taking small steps, working consistently toward achieving them. There were times she wanted to give up, but she always picked herself up and carried on. The benefits were evident. Not only did she catch up with her peer group, but she also went on to complete 12th grade and further her studies after high school. When we applied the various behavioral and neuropsychological tests after her period of therapy and compared them to her functioning before the accident, she had not only restored her original level but had gone way beyond in her functioning. What I believe happened to this patient is captured in two scriptures. Nothing they have imagined they could do would be impossible for them. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, Amplified. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. To think positively about our prospects, we must be able to imagine ourselves in the future. Our brains may have stamps from the past, but they are being rewired by our expectation of the future. Imagining a positive future reduces the pain of the past. Faith motivates us to pursue these goals. Hope leads to expectation, which creates peace, excitement, and health in our minds, thus increasing brain and body health. Additional benefits of not milkshake multitasking. An additional benefit from deep thinking is increased gyrification, a lovely word that means more folds in the cortex of the brain. These extra folds allow the brain to process information faster, make decisions quicker, and improve memory. Researchers specifically found an increase in folds in the insula, which is an amazing structure that integrates thinking, emotions, and self-regulation. These studies show once again that the more you apply a pattern of deep intellectual thought in your brain, the more you will improve the physical structure of your brain. Clearly, then, the parts of the brain involved in attention monitoring, working memory, dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, and how well we monitor our own thoughts, insula, and feelings improves dramatically with deep intellectual thought. Conclusion. These are just a few of the studies that show us that when we discipline our thoughts, positive physical brain changes happen. This allows us to become more aligned with God's way of thinking. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Then we will switch between tasks correctly, monitor our attention, feelings, and thoughts, and function at a higher level. I just love that every instruction God gives us that we actually follow comes with a bonus physically and mentally. You do what God says, and peace, happiness, and intelligence will follow. Chapter 6 Summary. 1. The truth about multitasking is that it is a persistent myth. 2. What we really do is shift our attention rapidly and haphazardly from task to task, resulting in two negative things. 1. We don't devote as much focused attention as we should to a specific activity, task, or piece of information, and 2. We sacrifice the quality of our attention. I call this milkshake multitasking. 3. This milkshake multitasking creates patterns of flightiness and lack of concentration that unfortunately are often erroneously labeled ADD and ADHD. Too often this results in unnecessary medication, which adds fuel to the fire. 4. The general pattern today is that so much attention is paid to tweeting, Instagramming, and Facebooking that we forget all about enjoying the moment. 5. So-called social media experts tell us that information needs to be provided in bite-size amounts and in a constant stream of new information before the previous information has even been digested. This is not stimulation. It is bombardment. 6. Milkshake multitasking decreases our attention, making us increasingly less able to focus on our thought habits. This opens us up to shallow and weak judgments and decisions, and it results in passive mindlessness. 7. Scientists are seeing the evidence of deep intellectual thought versus milkshake multitasking in the brain. 8. I saw the greatest changes in patients who willfully, determinedly, and persistently chose to focus their attention on improving their skills and restoring function. Chapter 7. Thinking, God, and the Quantum Physics Brain. Main Scripture. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, NLT. Linked Science Concepts. The process of thinking and choosing is the most powerful thing in the universe after God, and it is a phenomenal gift from God to be treasured and used properly. The basic ingredients of quantum physics are paying attention, thinking and choosing, and consequence. As we have explored in previous chapters, our mind activity, the thoughts driven by the power of feelings, are the designers of the landscape of our brains. Thinking and choosing play a central role in who God has made us to be. In linking thought, choice, and science, quantum theory comes up as a star player. The process of thinking and choosing is the most powerful thing in the universe after God, and it is a phenomenal gift from God to be treasured and used properly. Three different worlds. There is the sensory world of our five senses. There is the world of electromagnetism and the atom. And then there is the subatomic quantum world. This quantum world challenged physicists' perception of linear time, orderly space, and fixed realities, and turned on its head the Cartesian-Newtonian world that sees humans as machines with exchangeable parts. This is God's style. Just when humans think they are super smart and know it all, a whole lot of new information enters into the equation and changes everything. In the words of Max Planck, the German theoretical physicist who won the Nobel Prize in 1918 for originating quantum theory, science progresses funeral by funeral. Quantum physics is another way of admiring God. Quantum physics is a way of explaining how the things that make up atoms work and make sense of how the smallest things in nature work. Quantum means energy, and quantum physics tells us how electromagnetic waves, like light waves, and particles work. Quantum mechanics is the mathematical framework used to describe this energy and how it works. Using quantum physics, scientists can describe, predict, and quantify how we choose among a myriad of options. This is a way of measuring free will, or describing it using a mathematical formula. In essence, quantum physics says that your consciousness affects the behaviors of subatomic particles. Particles move backward and forward in time and appear in all possible places at once, and the universe is connected with transfers of information that are faster than light. Quantum physics aligning with scripture. Quantum theory converts science's conception of humans from being mere cogs in a gigantic mechanical machine to being free-thinking agents whose conscious choices affect the physical world. This is called the observer effect. The observer determines the direction in which the possibilities may collapse. In the quantum universe, as we, the observers, affect phenomena, space, and time, we turn possibilities into realities. Mind changes matter. Here is a simple way of understanding this observer effect. Each day, as you go through the events and circumstances of life, you are faced with a multitude of possibilities to choose, from what to wear in the morning to how you are going to react to the email you have just received. There is an endless array of possible choices you can make at any one moment in time, but it is you, with your ability to think, who directs the choice. So you collapse all the probabilities into one choice. Eggs for breakfast. I will not be upset by the tone of this email, or I will not say can't today. So as you choose, you collapse the probability into an actuality. Satan, the father of lies, John chapter 8, verse 44, will come at you with 1,000 negative probabilities, but you always need to remember that a probability has no power. It only becomes powerful when you believe the lie and collapse the probability into an actuality. This is how evil is birthed. Free will, a basic ingredient of quantum physics. Quantum physics has as its basic ingredients free will, directed attention as the result of a choice, and the effects and consequences of these choices. For example, Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27 says that if we direct our attention to the Word of God, we will align our thinking and subsequent choices with God, and the outcome will be healing and health. Thus, an intentional act, such as choosing to attend to God's words, listen to them, memorize them, will produce the effect of health to all your flesh. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, NIV, can be evaluated in the same way. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. The options. Now choose life. You intentionally evaluate the options and choose your reaction, so that you and your children may live, which is the consequence of your intentional choice. Let's apply the basic ingredients of quantum physics, paying attention, thinking and choosing, and consequence. 1. Information. You get a call from your doctor's office telling you that the results of your blood test are in and asking you to phone them as soon as possible. 2. Thoughts. Multiple thoughts are swirling around in your head. Option 1 is fear. They said as soon as possible. Does this mean bad news? What if I have... And on it goes, down to planning the songs for your funeral. Option 2 is denial. This is routine. I'll call when I have time. Option 3 is trust. I have faith that this will be good news. I am not moved by any doctor's report. 3. Choice. You choose an option. For instance, if you choose fear, your brain responds by wiring in the thought, I am sick, and you live into this thought. 4. Consequence. You suddenly feel sick and are sure you are dying. 5. New consequence. You phone the doctor. Your results are clear, and suddenly you feel fine, and perhaps a little foolish. So your brain becomes what you focused on. Body carries out the will of the spirit and soul, and what your brain has become produces what you say and do and how you feel physically and mentally. The granddaddy of definitions. Quantum physics has multiple definitions, but the original Copenhagen formulation of quantum theory made by Niels Bohr of Copenhagen University in 1927 is considered the granddaddy of the definitions. It states that the free choices made by human subjects are a subjectively controllable variable, which simply means that you control your choices. Quantum mechanics can be used to prove that thinking and choosing are real and measurable. The way you experience your feelings, the way you interface with your thoughts, and the kind of attention you give them will change how your brain functions. If you apply this principle, you can free yourself from destructive thoughts and actions and change bad habits for good. The quantum Zeno effect. I love quantum physics, but the quantum physics principle that really caught my attention is called the quantum Zeno effect, QZE. QZE is the repeated effort that causes learning to take place. When you go over and over something, reading it, thinking about it, writing it down, and then repeating this process, you deepen your knowledge and understanding, direct your attention, and grow nerve cells. The neurons in your brain line up and fire together because you are firing synapses over and over, which causes genetic expression to happen and makes the synapses and proteins stronger. The changes in your brain caused by this deep, repeated, intellectually targeted focus can be seen with brain imaging techniques. Basically, the QZE stipulates that your brain becomes what you focus on and how you focus. So the consequence is structural change in the brain that produces behavior because we operate from what we have built into our brain. Choosing to pay selective attention to and focus on what you are gathering in through your five senses acts on the physical structure of the brain, amplifying activity in particular brain circuits. In my research and clinical practice, I have trained teachers and students how to direct their attention in a systematic, organized, logical way that followed how the brain builds thought. This incorporated gathering the relevant information, reading it over and over, thinking about it over and over, writing it down, checking through it all again for accuracy, teaching it out loud, and applying it. I call this my five-step switch-on-your-brain learning process. In my PhD research, My control group was the historical academic trend of the school, which used basic studies skills intervention and a traditional teaching and learning approach. Once I introduced my switch on your brain process to a group of students, their academic trend significantly improved. The results showed a 35-70% improvement in metacognitive and cognitive performance as measured by academic results in 4 subjects: English, math, history, and science. These students had developed the attitude that persistence and hard work would achieve an end result, and that stretching themselves and challenging their minds is what would make the change. They learned the science behind this in their sessions with me and applied the lessons in their academics, and the results spoke for themselves. This was essentially the quantum Zeno effect in action, which I have also seen repeatedly in my other research, the lives of my patients, my children, and even my own life. I have successfully worked with clients as young as 3 and as old as 78, a pilot who wanted to change professions and become a CPA. Part of what I taught these students in their first session was an understanding that intelligence is continually developing, so they could become as intelligent as they wanted to be, based on how much they use their brains. Part of this session also included a basic introduction into how the brain works when we learn and how to build memory, including the concept of neuroplasticity. An important fact, I explained, was that they were in control of the development of their own brains, and that hard work and challenging themselves help the brain grow more brain cells. Their motivation and enthusiasm for taking responsibility for their own learning was incredible. Dr. Carol Dweck, a Stanford University research psychologist, found similar results. She found that students who believed that intelligence can grow had increasing math scores. Those that believed that intelligence was fixed experienced a decrease in their math scores. She then compared a group of students who were trained in basic study skills to another group who were told how their brains grow in response to novelty and challenge. At the end of the semester, those who had the mini neuroscience approach had significantly better math grades than the other group. The law of entanglement. The law of entanglement in quantum physics states that relationship is the defining characteristic of everything in space and time. Because of the pervasive nature of the entanglement of atomic particles, the relationship is independent of distance and requires no physical link. Everything and everyone is linked, and we all affect each other. The law of entanglement has a biblical correlation. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. If you are not doing what God put you on this earth to do, your divine sense of purpose, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, then even though you may not know me, you are still affecting my life. We are all part of God, so this interconnectedness is not surprising. Your intentions, your prayers, and your words toward others will have impact because of this law. We see this in the scriptures. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5, verse 16, KJV. In fact, we are so entangled that our intentions alter not only our own DNA molecules, but the DNA molecules of others as well. An ingenuous experiment set up by the Heart Math Foundation determined that genuine positive emotion, as reflected by a measure called heart rate variability, directed with intentionality towards someone, actually changed the way the double helix DNA strand coils and uncoils. And this goes for both positive and negative emotions and intentions. Other research shows that even 30 seconds a day of direct heartfelt intention will cumulatively alter not only your own destiny, but impact the lives of others in this generation and the next 3 at least. Look at the story of the woman in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, who bled for 12 years. She was so desperate for her healing that when she heard about the man called Jesus who heals, she started directing her intentions with each bit of information she received, cumulatively building a physical thought in her mind of her healing and believing it in her heart. In effect, she was applying Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. In this way, she developed her faith and aligned herself with the healing power of God, and in doing so, she built a root thought, Proverbs 23, verse 7, and acted upon it to receive her healing. She collapsed all the probabilities into one, which said, "I will be healed if I just touch the hem of his garment." Furthermore, her entanglement with God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, was activated by her choice to believe in her heart and confess with her mouth. There was no cognitive dissonance in her that day, meaning she wasn't thinking one thing and confessing another. Science shows the beauty of what happens when we align with God. Science is a way God shows us that we are part of him, and when we follow his laws, we reap the benefit. I honestly believe that by applying our intelligence, which can be developed and trained, we can become amazingly good at understanding how to practice the presence of God. I have personally reached a point where science has taken my relationship with God to a whole new level. He has become very real and very personal. Through science, you see how much trouble he has gone to in order to show himself to us in every way possible. We are entangled in each other's lives, and this is reflected in the structure of the brain. We have mirror neurons that fire up as we watch someone else laugh or cry or drink a cup of coffee. Giacomo Rizzolatti and his team were the first to discover these mirror neurons in 1995. Through these neurons, we literally fire up activity in the brain without actually using our five senses through the normal sensory cognitive cycle. Empathy is the wonderful God-given ability to identify with and vicariously understand the internal experiences of another person, making communication more genuine and valuable. When we empathize, many different regions of the brain collaborate in addition to the tiny miraculous mirror neurons. We have been hardwired to experience powerful compassion for others, and this compassion crosses all three worlds: sensory, electromagnetic, and quantum. Particles behave in a bizarre way, which is another reason why prayer works. Quantum theory calls entanglement bizarre behavior for particles, such as two entangled particles behaving as one, even when far apart. Physicists call such behavior non-local, which means that it is physically impossible to know the position and the momentum of a particle at the same time. Another way of saying this is that there is no space-time dimension. We know God operates outside of the space-time dimension, and we know prayer does too. There are many stories of people praying for each other on different sides of the planet and experiencing the effect of the prayer. In fact, there are many documented studies on the impact of prayer in the world of neuroscience, in addition to the millions of testimonies from Christians around the world. An innovative experiment was done that showed that we are capable of impacting each other's minds and brains, even when sensory signals, the five senses, electromagnetic signals, mirror neurons, and insula activity have all been removed. This impact only worked with meditators who had built a relationship with each other, not those in the control group who didn't have a relationship. In the experiment, researchers got two people to meditate next to each other in an electronically shielded room, called a Faraday cage. Then they separated them into two separate Faraday cages, and as they continued to meditate, researchers shone light in the eye of one of the meditators. The part of the brain that lit up in that person's brain also lit up in the other meditator's brain, even though there was no sensory or electromagnetic connection. Classical physics says this could only work if there were a prior arrangement, something like, if this happens, then that will happen. So no space-time dimension seems to violate our sense of cause and effect in space and time. For example, if someone needs heart surgery, then heart surgery is performed and is either successful or not. However, one study showed that those undergoing heart surgery who had spiritual support in the form of prayer and social support showed a mortality rate 1/7 of those who did not. Other researchers found that those who attended church regularly and had a stronger faith were less likely to die and had better overall health. There are over 1,200 studies linking intentional prayer and overall health and longevity. Meta-analyses in various medical journals have compiled results that show that intentional prayer significantly affects healing. Dr. David Levy, a practicing neurosurgeon in California, prays for his patients before he operates on them and has amazing results. The majority of his patients want him to pray because it shows them he cares more about their health and about them as a person than a physician who does not discuss spiritual matters with his or her patients. I love what Dr. Levy says about how he approaches the often life-threatening and frightening brain surgeries that his patients face. I have been in this profession for a good number of years and am intimately familiar with most of the new therapies, medical devices, and drugs hitting the market. Many of them are ingenious, and I use them regularly in my practice. I have consulted for several companies to develop better devices and have traveled the world teaching others to use them. I admire and am grateful for modern medical technology. But though technology can prolong a life or reduce pain, it cannot always make life better. My experiences have convinced me that spirituality is a crucial element to the well-being of a person as a whole. Moreover, if we let him, God can do powerful, supernatural things in our everyday lives. That's why I began inviting God into my consultations, exams, and surgeries. Many would be surprised that a neurosurgeon, a man of science, logic, and human progress, would be such a strong believer in God and divine intervention. Yet the experience has been nothing short of phenomenal. This experiment highlights how we impact each other through our intentions and prayers. Our prayers impact each other, but so do the negative words we speak over people we are in a relationship with. However, we need to remember that a curse without cause shall not alight. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Matter just keeps getting smaller. We have gone from molecules to atoms to quarks, leptons, and bosons, and now physicists are proposing an even smaller concept called prions as minuscule particles that make up quarks. They are also proposing a string theory, which says that the ultimate building blocks of matter are tiny vibrating strings, which are even smaller than prions. One scientist even describes prions as twisted braids of space-time. If prions exist, I think they do, they are unimaginably tiny and would have to fit inside a quark, which is currently the smallest known particle of matter, having a size of zero, and the strings are even smaller. Thought moves faster than the speed of light. Electrons have been observed to jump from one orbit to another without traveling through the intervening space and without time having elapsed. Scientists say our thought signals also seem to move faster than the speed of light and in ways that classical physics cannot explain. How else do you explain the effect we have on each other? How someone with a negative attitude impacts how you feel? Remember the mirror neurons in the brain that mirror each other's emotions, facilitating empathy that I spoke about a few paragraphs back? These signals that are passed between us are made up of energy that can be explained, at this time anyway, in terms of quantum physics. A glimpse into the spiritual world. These observations also give us a glimpse of the spiritual side of the world that is beyond time and space. It could explain how, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus, then later that evening, as soon as they recognized who he was, he suddenly disappeared. Luke chapter 24, verse 31.